WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, Mid-Michigan and beyond? My name is Isaac Constance. I'm filling in for Al Martin today, tomorrow, and the last 2 days this week. He's over in Orlando, and he'll be back on Friday. But for now, we have an excellent show planned for you guys today, okay? I'm really excited for our guest, head coach of the Oakland Men's Basketball Department. That's Greg Campy. He's done a great job. He's going to talk about his efforts with the team, what their roster and season is shaping up to be next year. Kay Felder, I know everybody wants to know about him right now, and his efforts to prevent the spread of cancer. Really noble cause right there. Also, Keith Appling is set to stand trial. We'll let you know when, and we'll also give our thoughts on what his future looks like as an NBA pro, or if he even has one. We'll talk about that. Also, the Big 12 is set to expand the second wave, possibly, of super conferences in NCAA football. And then, you know, what happens with the end of the show. We'll also wrap up the week that we've had so far. We'll give you an update on Moneyball, the Pro-Am tournament here held in Lansing, Michigan, and Nick Saban suspending an offensive lineman despite two relatively unsolved cases. All that and more. You know where you can contact us, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also on Twitter, at WKR_sports. But hey, you know how we start the party for today. It's your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners up next. And the Big 12 Conference announced Tuesday that it has permitted Commissioner Bob Bowlesby to pursue expansion after meeting in Irvine, Texas, to consider the positives and negatives of including additional teams. Bowlesby is expected to reach out to schools soon, examining their interest in joining the Big 12 in the upcoming weeks. BYU has already issued a declaration of their intent to apply for the Big 12. Quote, "It's a positive step, said Oklahoma President and Board Chair David Bourne, who has been the most outspoken expansion proponent. Not yet a decision, but shows momentum on the board to consider expansion as a possibility." Bourne said expansion by both two and four schools is on the table. The Big 12 has been a 10-team conference since 2012 when Nebraska, Colorado, Texas A&M, and Missouri all abandoned it during the last major wave of conference paradigm quakes. In the same year, TCU and West Virginia joined. Then the Lansing State Journal has been releasing their Dream Teams of the Year. The Dream Teams honor the local Lansing area's best prep talent across all sports. Current selection and all-stars include the track and field, both boys and girls category, water polo, gymnastics, baseball, hockey, lacrosse, and basketball. Most recently, Pat Murray was named Boys Track and Field Coach of the Year, and Corona's Noah Jacobs was named Boys Track and Field Athlete of the Year. Congrats to those two and anybody else who was named in the LSJ Dream Team Awards list. Then Jim Seagreaves will be joining the DeWitt Hall of Fame. That's right, three-sport Jim Seagreaves, who graduated in 1983 and was named Male Athlete of the Year, earned a total of six varsity letters, competing in both football and basketball, in addition to the spring season of track. Seagreaves helped DeWitt to their first Capital Circuit League championship in his senior season. Following that year, he earned first-team all-conference in the Capital Circuit, all Clinton County as a linebacker, all-area by the Lansing State Journal, Class C all-area player of the year, and Associated Press first-team all-state as a linebacker in 1982. Let me catch my breath. That was a lot of awards for Seagreaves, and he also earned the Detroit Free Press First Team All-State United Press International Honorable Mention and was invited to play in the Michigan High School Football Coaches Association All-Star Game. Wow. Seagraves will be inducted on September 30th at halftime of the high school varsity football game against Hazlitt. Congratulations to him. The NCAA then announced on Monday the teams in contention for the number one overall seed in next year's NCAA Division I tournament will get to submit their preferences for geographical sites for the first and second round basketball games far in advance of Selection Sunday. The choices, which aren't guaranteed by submission alone, came from a series of recommendations by a National Association of Basketball Coaches, an ad hoc group that was formed last month. The NABC aimed to lend perspective of schools to the NCAA Basketball Bracket Selection Committee on matters of selection, seeding, and bracketing. The change will be effective immediately, and the 2016-2017 season will be the first year of its implementation. Per LSJ, former Mason High School standout Lucy DeMartin Pryor will be named to the Mason Athletic Hall of Fame on September 16th. As a varsity starter in the Bulldogs' backcourt, DeMartin Pryor contributed to teams that combined to go 61-12 as over her full three seasons. Pryor earned first-team All-Capital Circuit honors, Lansing State Journal Dream Team selection, and All-State honorable mention at Mason, while also garnering multiple team voted MVPs and the Best Defensive Player awards. She went on to Fair State, where she had a successful collegiate career. She averaged 18.3 points per game there, and with 1,721 points, became FSU's all-time leader in career scoring. Congratulations to Lucy. Very impressive list of accolades right there. Then the Detroit Pistons have officially offered and added their first-round draft pick Henry Ellenson to the roster. Ellenson, an upcoming power forward from Marquette University, was the 18th overall pick of the 2016 NBA draft. In the Orlando Summer League, Ellenson averaged 12.4 points, 7.4 rebounds, and 29.4 minutes in five games, all of which he started. In his lone collegiate season at Marquette, Ellenson averaged 17 points, 9.7 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 1.5 blocks, and 33.5 minutes in 33 games. Ellenson's contract, per the pre-structured rookie salary framework, will be between $1.4 and $1.7 million a year in his first year, and will expand after that with a 2+2 option for the Pistons front office. The Pistons draft Swami Brian Wright will not be able to see how his pick pans out firsthand, as he'll be assuming the assistant general manager position in San Antonio. And lastly, with two arrests in 2 months, former Michigan State basketball player and National Player of the Year contender in his time at MSU, Keith Appling was ordered by a judge on Tuesday to stand trial on felony charges for carrying a concealed weapon. It's the second time he has faced a weapon charge in 2 months. Appling's attorney, Cyril Hill, said that a weapon from the most recent arrest was not Appling's. Hall also attested that he believes police lied in their testimony about seeing the gun's handle prior to approaching the car because the statement wasn't in the initial report. Appling is set to be arraigned August 2nd in Wayne County Circuit Court. Well, folks, that wraps it up for your current sports quick hit headliners. If you have any questions or comments, call in 517-355-9527. Let's hit it.
No state income tax, and our residents enjoy. Our residents enjoy over 600 miles of pristine beaches. Florida is the paradise where you vacation, but we all live. We are home to over 1.5 million veterans, and we make it a point to thank them every day. We are the state that gave LeBron James his first two championships. Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, you cannot win the presidency without winning the great state of Florida. We are honored to cast all of our 99 winner-take-all delegates to the next president of the United States, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
There you hear Blaise Ngoya, a representative from Florida at the Republican National Convention. And yeah, I bet you guys were starting off wondering, where's this going? This is Current Sports. This is in Current State, even though Current State more talks about local politics in the first place. But no, we're not a political talk show right here, and we never will be. But I just thought it was funny that Mr. Blaise had to name drop a certain LeBron James in his nomination of Donald Trump with the state's 99 delegates. And, of course, the RNC, the Republican National Convention, is going on right now in Cleveland, Ohio. Thus the reason why Blaise Ngoya, after saying that, was covered by a course of booze and had to pause momentarily. Cleveland's not too fond still, obviously, of that four-year hiatus when LeBron James was no longer in Ohio. And I like the phrasing, too, from Ngoya. Very selective there. The state that gave LeBron James his first two championship rings. I think you could take that another direction. I think, of course, you could say LeBron James, the player who gave Miami its second and third ever franchise rings. That's probably a little more suitable, in my opinion. Just LeBron James, one of the best players in the world, in the history of the NBA, the best player in the world. And yeah, Miami didn't necessarily give him the championship rings. That's beside the point, however. Just thought that was a fun way to start the show, because my dad always grew up telling me, when I asked, you know, Dad, why are you necessarily voting in this election? Why do you care about who gets mayor of New Orleans, who, you know, gets governor, all of this stuff? He'd always respond, politics, even though they're important, it's also kind of the sports for adults. And sports are sports for adults as well. But at the same time, as you can see in the presidential election this year, there's some entertainment value involved as well. Not every statement is designed for a purely pragmatic purpose. A lot of politicians just go out there and say stuff to get media attention, get people riled up. It's two teams going against each other. It's entertaining stuff, but you know what? We're not going to talk politics here. In fact, last thing I'd want to, we're going to talk sports. And we're going to start off by talking about former Michigan State basketball player Keith Appling, who was ordered yesterday to stand trial on a felony charge of carrying a concealed weapon. The second time he's faced that charge in 2 months. Yeah, not looking good for the former Player of the Year contender and All-American point guard at Michigan State University. He was arrested in June in Detroit when he was in the backseat of his brother's car during a traffic stop. Now, upon being pulled over, police attested to seeing a handgun in the backseat and then examined the body of Mr. Appling, finding a Smith & Wesson .40 caliber in the floorboard. Now, Appling also shoved the loaded clip into his shirt, and he was arrested just a month earlier, obviously trying to avoid any other run-ins with the law in Dearborn outside of a local strip club. There, he also was carrying a concealed weapon and had a court date scheduled and also possessed marijuana on his person. Now, the June incident, the most recent one, occurred after they pulled over his brother just for a regular traffic stop. And his brother actually was wearing a harness. His brother was armed, but he allowed the cops to check him, check his ID, and he was licensed, so no problem there whatsoever. However, the police had seen Appling, as aforementioned, in the back seat with a Glock hidden and under the floorboard that he tried to put under as soon as he saw they were getting pulled over, as well as the clip in his shirt. Appling was taken to jail, and Appling's attorney yesterday, released a few comments that maybe shed a little bit of light on the situation, at least a different perspective. Now, only one viewpoint on this can be correct, because Appling's attorney, Cyril Hall, and then the policeman involved have contrasting statements. But Cyril Hall did say that the weapon didn't belong to Appling, and he said that a third passenger had brought it in to the vehicle originally. He told reporters also that he didn't believe that police had actually seen Appling hide the gun whatsoever, and they had fabricated that part of the story because he hadn't seen it in their initial police report following the arrest. Now, District Judge Kenneth King said that based on the officer's testimony, assuming what they said to be valid and true, then they were within their rights to search the vehicle upon pulling it over, as if they feared for their safety as officers, they had a right to check and make sure that they were in a secure environment. Obviously, a handgun under the floorboard would not indicate that. Quote, the officers had a duty to investigate further for their safety, as well as the safety of the partners, King said. So Appling is set to be arraigned August 2nd in Wayne County Circuit Court. And this obviously throws a huge monkey wrench into Keith Appling's pursuit of an NBA career. Appling has been in the NBA for a combined total, a grand 20 days, two 10-day NBA contracts with the Orlando Magic over the past season. Now, Appling was, of course, here in East Lansing with MSU from 2010 to 2014. And like I mentioned, this doesn't bode well for the former Spartan. My thoughts personally on this issue are that Appling's career is likely over, and there's another reason for that besides him just getting arrested. One big reason for me is what we've been talking about for the past 2 days on the show. That's the NBA Summer League. And that's what we'll talk about later today a little bit with Greg Campy, head coach of Oakland men's basketball, as well as tomorrow with Casey Johnson, a Chicago Tribune Bulls reporter who has covered Denzel Valentine quite closely. Now, Keith Appling was pretty good last year in the Summer League. Last year, he averaged 15.6 points per game, shot 50% from the field, 40% from the three-point line, and 3 assists in 5 showings. Good stats, obviously enough to garner the attention of the Magic coaching staff, and obviously enough combined with his D-League performance, which was 73 games in total, 14.6 points per game, 3.6 rebounds per game, and 4.5 assists per game, to merit a call-up to the big leagues, to the NBA, with Orlando Magic. And Appling was not anything spectacular whatsoever when he was on Orlando. Let's not make that mistake. Appling played very limited games, only 5 throughout the season, and in that, he scored 6 points, made 2 of 2 free throws, got a rebound, got an assist, and got a steal with 3 turnovers and 5 fouls. That's not really enough to merit a continued call-up, but at the same time, making the NBA for the first time is often the toughest part. Staying in the league is difficult, but seeing all the players drop out of the league, we always forget how many players never even got that chance. Appling got his chance, and Appling was growing as a player. His stats in the D-League dramatically improved over the season, and his maturity as well was expected to grow, as Appling's always been a score-first point guard, and there's obviously nothing wrong with that. Some point guards do it very well. Keith Appling was one of them. But Appling was learning that maybe in the pros, with his undersized frame, just at 6'1", might have to dish it a little bit more, and Appling was becoming more and more confident within that mold. He was learning. And then this, once again, just kind of ruins it all for Appling. being arrested twice is bad. Not playing in the summer league after only playing 5 games in your career as a pro. And after playing in the D League with decent exposure, but, you know, only earning 1 call-up, Appling is missing out on valuable time here. I mean, forget about the fact that the guy obviously has some off-court issues, but the Summer League is the chance for all unknown players to impress. The Summer League, some of my best memories of it are watching Jeremy Lin ball out with the Dallas Mavericks Summer League team. Now, Jeremy Lin never played a game for Dallas in the pros, but he did on the Summer League. And I guess a few teams took notice, one of them being the New York Knicks, and you know the rest of the Lin sanity tale. Also, you see guys such as Kay Felder currently in the Summer League. We'll see how he turns out. Pierre Jackson make a mark in the Summer League, and countless other names. You see all these throwback tapes. It's LeBron James. It's Dwayne Wade. It's Chris Paul. All these guys got their start in the Summer League, and while they were guaranteed a roster spot before that tournament began, at the same time, going up against players of that caliber, the next it, that gives you the chance to impress, and Appling missed out on possibly the most valuable experience of his career by missing out on the Summer League. What do you think about calling 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That's WKAR for the last 4 digits. And the other thing with Appling is the obvious one, the off-court issues. Sometimes you just have to shake your head at wasted talent, wasted ability. And that's exactly what you've got to do right here with Keith Appling. He got his chance, and he got a chance to redeem himself. I know Detroit can be home to some atrocious crimes. It really can be. But as an NBA player, you do what it takes to stay in the NBA. If that means staying out of Detroit, then you stay out of Detroit, even if that's your hometown. But it's not that simple of a solution, because obviously you're going to want to go back home. But a simple solution is carrying around marijuana in your pocket, on your person, wherever it may be, is as dumb as you can be as an NBA player. The NBA drug test, for one, and there's no hint whatsoever that they will have caught Appling. Of course, that supposedly goes through your system rather quickly, but there's no suggestion that Appling wouldn't have gotten away with that. But carrying it on your person also is illegal. Obviously, in a situation like that, it got him into more trouble. And Appling was out, roaming again, taking over the streets. And somehow, he found his way into a car. And I'm not going to say necessarily that it was his gun yet, just because, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But were you doing any car with a gun? Obviously, he knew the gun was there. He wouldn't have hidden it. So Keith Appling decides that it's a good idea to be in a car afterwards, carrying a gun, or at least with a gun. And once he sees the police, he puts the clip underneath his shirt. He hides the gun underneath the floorboard. These obviously weren't tinted windows, because they could see him doing it, apparently. And once again, Appling's back in the slammer, back in an undesirable position for any athlete trying to make it big. So, at this point, I'm not sure if an NBA team wants to trifle with Keith Appling. They don't want that worry on their hands. He's better off going overseas. Assuming he gets out of this fairly easily, which I think he will. It's not a malicious crime or anything like that. It's not a violent assault case. It's not like he slapped anybody. God forbid that. No, just kidding. That's Draymond Green. But no, Keith Appling has not done anything to merit the total removal of trust from teams. At the same time, for a player who is on the fringes of NBA competitiveness as it is, you want that player to be perfect off the court and perfect in the locker room. And Keith Appling, does not seem like that presence currently. Now, it's also a bad look for MSU, just hearing about these cases more and more. Zach Randolph, of course, was accused of choking his girlfriend. Brandon Dawson of domestic abuse, although that case was never actually pressed in court. Jeff Tayar, arrested back probably a year ago for domestic violence within East Lansing. Not MSU player, but within East Lansing. He was apparently dating a girl from the area and obviously got into a little bit of a spat and did not handle it well. Then Draymond Green, currently with Jermaine Edmondson. And it's just a sad, I guess, I don't know what to call it, tarnished lining on the whole success recently that MSU has been having. Because watching the Summer League final, I was amazed by all of the Michigan State standouts who are being shouted out by the announcers. It's, oh, here, look at Adrian Payne score 22 points. Oh, here, look at Denzel Valentine hit two buzzer beaters. And then you kind of do have to remember all of this regardless. That's not Tom Izzo's work. Tom Izzo traditionally has such a history of high character guys. But these players, Al and I have talked about countless times, they're spoiled. When you go to a big name program, you think you are above the law. You think everything belongs to you. And now we're seeing the repercussions for guys like Keith Appling. So hopefully it serves as a red herring and a warning to players who are currently at MSU, guys with all the potential in the world coming in, like Josh Lankford, Miles Bridges, Nick Ward. But, you know, we will see these type of instances again. So without further ado, I'd actually like to call in our engineer for today's show, Seth Kinker, on. Seth, Keith Appling, yes or no for a future NBA stint?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. You covered all the points, and especially if, let's give him benefit of the doubt, and I do think he's guilty, and I think he should be in trouble. But let's say that it wasn't his gun; nothing into that was his. Mm-hmm. Why are you even putting yourself in that situation if you're a fringe player? You're not even a guarantee. You're not even already an NBA player who are already scrutinized. You're one of the guys trying to get there, and that just means you're going to be scrutinized even more. Your performance on the court as your performance off of it, like you said. So why even put yourself in that situation? I don't think so. I wouldn't take a risk on him.
That's the thing, Draymond Green, $84 million in the bank. He doesn't really have to be worrying too much about a slap. At the end of the day, while I don't think it's a good image for him to have or any of the programs that he represents, it's a slap. It's going to cost him a $200 fine, I believe, to get bailed out of jail, which, I mean, I could cover that right now, and I'm a broke college kid. Draymond Green, I mean, that is, like, what, 1/1,000,000th of what he gave to MSU? No, come on. So, at the end of the day, that's no big deal for him. For Keith Appling, D-League players do not make any money. I saw a New York Times report on it. They don't make much. It's like minor league baseball, unless you're on an NBA contract, and Appling had two. But that's not going to last you all that long, especially if you spend your time paying bail fees, going to strip clubs in Detroit, and all of the above. So for Appling, no, this doesn't look good. It's definitely a blight on his career. Not saying it's over, but as an NBA team, I would not take the chance. And I think most of the 30 GMs would agree with me. I think Europe is Appling's current best hope of continuing to play basketball for a living. Let's hear our first break. Coming out of our first break, we have head coach Greg Campy of Oakland University on. He's going to talk about everything that he's doing with his program, as well as Kay Felder, a former member who's now making big waves within the NBA. You're listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host for the day, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. Stay tuned after the break. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance. I'm filling in at the host chair for this week for Al Martin, who's currently in Orlando, Florida. Actually, the center of what we just got done talking about. Keith Appling, a former Magic player and MSU superstar, who's now set for an August 2nd arraignment in Wayne County Circuit Courts. But currently, we've actually got a very special guest on the line right now, somebody who I don't think we've talked to in almost over a year. It's been way too long, but we've got Greg Campy, head coach of the Oakland University men's basketball team, on the line right now. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no problem. So how are preparations going for next season? Where are you up to right now?
Well, this is a really recruiting time. The July recruiting period's in full swing. This is actually the last week of it. And so my staff and I and every staff in the country is traveling all over the country, you know, trying to make final decisions on kids, watching, babysitting some, just being there, you know, making sure parents see that we're interested in there. So that's really taking up all the time right now. That'll be over this Sunday.
Of course. Now, you recently posted on Twitter, I saw, I think at the golf course, that you were seeing more and more Oakland gear popping up. I mean, you've been there for so long right now. What do you attribute for that sudden rise? You guys are now a premier Michigan basketball program.
I hope so. I mean, I hope that's what that means. I was pretty excited about that, you know, that at this outing I was at, there were 200, you know, plus players at it, and one of the team gifts that they gave was a baseball hat, and they had Michigan State, and Oakland hats, and all the Oakland hats were taken, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That's great. And I've actually got my own hypothesis on somebody who's helped out that theory, you know, and that's a 5'9 explosive point guard from Detroit who just killed it in the summer league with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And of course, I'm talking about Khalil Felder. What was draft night like for you as a coach?
Well, I think you're right. I think he's had a lot to do with that, the excitement that he brought to our program during the last 3 years. And, you know, he was a highlight film waiting to happen. And, you know, he put Oakland on SportsCenter quite often for a team that, you know, doesn't get there that often. We were pretty well looking to a fixture on it during this past season. So I think you're right on that. Draft night was a pretty cool night. He had a draft party for, you know, maybe a couple hundred people were there and sitting around waiting, and we thought he was going to get taken at one place, and he didn't, and people were down and sad. But when he finally went, it was pretty exciting evening. A lot of his friends and family, and they got to celebrate, you know, every kid dreams of getting drafted and being able to play in the NBA. So when it happens, you're one of the few fortunate. I think everybody's just grateful for that.
Well, and Coach, I think you're an Ohio guy as well, right? So did you grow up a Cavaliers fan?
Well, no, I grew up in Ohio, but my dad played football at Michigan.
Oh.
And so I was, and I've been a Tiger, Lion, Piston, you know, Red Wing fan my whole life. So I lived down there, but I was the guy nobody liked because I didn't like any of the Ohio teams.
I can understand that. But a pretty good situation nonetheless. The defending champions, of course, Matthew Dellavedova out the window for the Cavaliers and presumably to make room for Felder. What do you think his role will be his first year in the NBA?
He was here yesterday, and I know that, you know, that there's been contract talks, and he, you know, told me that it was multiple years that they were discussing. So I think they see him as a guy that can come in and score points. There aren't a lot of backup point guys in the NBA that are, you know, point scorers, guys that can go get you baskets. And, you know, that's a hot commodity right now. I know during the draft, I talked to a lot of different general managers, and that was the big thing when they talked about Jay, was, you know, his unique style of being able to score. So I can see him playing that role. You know, they've got one of the best point guards in the world in Kyrie Irving. So it's a great situation for him to get to learn behind him and LeBron. And, you know, I would guess they'd need him 10 to 13 minutes a game early on. And then as the season goes on and they play some of the teams that aren't very good, he may get 20, 25 minutes in those games to try and prove himself. Because when they get to the playoffs, they're going to want a proven backup that can go out there and make plays in the playoffs if they're going to win another world championship. So I think they'll use the season to find out if Kay can do that.
And Khalil was certainly impressive in big games this season. I mean, talking radio out of East Lansing, Michigan State fans know that better than anybody. But going forward, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit right here, but 5 years from now, what does his career look like? What player was he set to emulate, you think? Who does he remind you of?
Well, the guy reminds me of is I'm too old for most people to remember a guy named Nate Archibald.
Okay.
Who played back in the day, and you know, he's a scoring point guard that can also pass the ball. Small, undersized. But you know, I think 5 years from now, he'll have had a nice little run in Cleveland. And, you know, like Dellavedova, like a lot of subs with free agency after they prove themselves in a couple of years, that's when they get their big contract, you know, through a 4-year deal as a free agent with somebody. And I think Cade would probably be headed down that path would be my biggest, if I had to, you know, look at a crystal ball and say that, you know, he played his role really well in Cleveland, and then one of the teams that isn't as successful as, you know, like with Dellavedova to Milwaukee, and you see a lot of that going on now. Harrison Barnes are leaving Golden State to go somewhere. You know, the role players then get a bigger piece of the pie and a bigger role at some of the lower level teams.
Yeah, Barnes of course headed to Dallas, and currently Felder, you know, him leaving, it's great for your program and its image. Of course, also it leaves some pretty big shoes for somebody to step into. Do you have a specific player in mind who's going to fill that role, or is it more of a collective effort?
Well, we don't know yet until we get going. But, yeah, we would have rather had him stay for this fourth year. I think there would have been a lot of people that would have given us votes for the top 25 had he come back. We have a really good team coming back, but we have a big hole at the point because he played almost every minute. So, you know, it's not like there was a sub that got to back him up. So, we brought in a freshman out of Detroit named Braylon Neely, who was the PSL Player of the Year, and we think he's going to be a very, very good player. Will he be ready, you know, from the get-go? We'll see. Mm-hmm. We have a junior college kid that we've brought in, but I'm not sure if he'll be ready. So there's a lot of question marks, but there are some bodies that we can throw at it, and we'll see if one of them can rise to the top.
Well, and you mentioned the junior college transfers. That's actually one thing I wanted to hit on. What will Kendrick Nunn and Stevie Clark, who I presume you were talking about, bring to your squad?
Well, Kendrick can't play this year. He's got, as a transfer, he's got a city year. And he'll be, Kendrick averaged 16 points and 5 rebounds in the Big Ten. Yeah. I would think that those numbers would, you know, increase here at Oakland, especially with our style of play. And Kendrick's a really, really good player. Stevie Clark still has some issues. He's got to get eligible through the junior college and things like that. We're not even 100% sure yet that he's going to be able to play. But, you know, he's worth the gamble. He's a very talented young kid who, you know, ran into some trouble, and we're hoping that he can get around that trouble and get back on the right path and play. But, that's a hope. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. Mm-hmm. We've got some other kids that are in line for that position if he doesn't make it.
Following the dismissals of those two, obviously very talented players, but what gave you the confidence in speaking to them that they would possibly be good fits on this team, that they had made amends for the past?
Well, Kendrick Nunn, you know, he had been recruited by one of my assistant coaches on my staff now when my coach was at Iowa State coming out of high school. So my coach knew that he was a great kid, knew that, you know, he'd gone into a bit of a problem. But it wasn't something that, you know, we thought, we just think he made a bad decision one day. We don't think it's a habitual problem or anything like that. And we have history with him and know him, and we feel good about that, you know.
Yep.
In Stevie's case, another assistant had known him, had actually been recruiting him to the school that he was at last year. We knew that in Stevie's case, there's still some hurdles to jump through in that. But when Kay left, it was late in the summer, and there wasn't a lot of options left, and we just, you know, went about the business to find out if he could make it, get through his hurdles and be here. And we're still in that process. We don't know if he'll ever play at Oakland or not, but, we're trying to help him get through his hurdles.
for players on the current roster too, either returning or incoming freshmen, for guys who might not know too much about the Oakland program and mainly recognize the Khalil Felder name, who should people key in on? Who are your big prospects?
Well, Jalen Hayes is from Lansing and played a tremendous game against Michigan State last year. So yep. The Michigan State fans, that was the only game they saw us. I'm sure they remember Jalen left-handed about 6'7".
Oh, I do.
He'll be a first team all-league player in the preseason this year. He's kind of a guy that we think's the next quote superstar at Oakland. Uh-huh. He's got 2 years left, and he had a tremendous sophomore year. McDaniels is a player that can score for us. Sherrod Dorsey Walker, Martez Walker, they're all, guys coming back from last year's team that started games for us. We had probably five or six guys coming back that started a handful of games or more. So we've got a deep veteran team. We just have to fill that point guard spot.
Yep. And Hayes, of course, a Sexton product, too, for all the local fans that are interested, just a few generations of basketball prospects away from Bryn Forbes, Denzel Valentine, and Anthony Clements, that, of course, legendary Lansing Sexton team. So, also, Coach, one thing I, of course, really respect about your program is your dedication to matters off the court, and specifically helping cure cancer. Of course, you put on the Coaches vs. Cancer campaign last year, and recently you also saw some of your players struggle with cancer battles within their own family. What has been the recent unfolding of those events, and what have been your continued efforts to combat them?
Well, it was a real tough 2 years around here, maybe even 3 years, with those types of events. And those are curveballs you get in life, and you've just got to fight and overcome it. But at some point, you just wonder, what can we do to try and get this thing cured? And there's nothing I can do other maybe than to help raise some money and get it to the right people. And I've been fortunate that we were able to meet some people at the American Cancer Society who are really good people that, have all the right intentions in the world. And they came out and solicited some help from me, and I've just tried to help them the best I can. Just trying to use the resources that I have to help and, just be a small, way of helping out, that's all.
Uh-huh. And, Coach, could you take me through the game that you all put on at Oakland University for high school freshman Sam Kell, who's diagnosed in March, and the other efforts that we might not see all over ESPN, but you still participate in?
Well, you just do things when people ask for you to do that. You try and use the position you're in to help. In Sam's case, the Channel 7, sports reporter, Channel 7, reached out to me and asked if I would get involved in this, and it was really his deal. He just used my program and a basketball game to help with the young man, high school kid who had cancer, and he wanted to be a basketball player. And because of the cancer, he wasn't able to enjoy basketball in high school, but he loved the game. And so we allowed him through Channel 7 to sit on the bench and be part of a game. And he was like an honorary coach for the game. I think all programs do things like that. It's just you try and do the best you can to help people out. That's what we do.
Yeah. Stand up, Deed. And on to a few more basketball matters, Coach, before I let you out of here. What gets you most excited about next year? Obviously, we're still a little ways away, but you mentioned you're in the middle of recruiting season. What has piqued your interest in the start of the 2016-2017 season?
Well, I think a lot of people feel that because Kerry Ross, that we won't be very good. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a group of kids who might have a little chip on their shoulder to prove that might be wrong. Like I said, we have a veteran team that's played a lot of minutes back, but, pretty much the media and everybody felt as Felder went open. So as much as we enjoyed him being here and the great things he did for us, he's not here anymore, and we've got to carry on. And I think our players are really looking forward to maybe proving to some people that they might be a little bit better than we're giving credit for. So I expect us to have a pretty good year.
Uh-huh.
A very motivated year. I'm interested to see how these kids play with this chip on their shoulder.
Definitely. And Coach, finally, you're the third longest tenured coach in the nation and one of three in the category with Mike Krzyzewski and Jim Boeheim to be at the same school 30-plus years. And you recently signed a contract extension in April. Basketball is not getting old yet for you whatsoever?
I don't know what else I would do. So, there's a nice niche here. The players are really good players, and, you know, we've built a program, as we talked about at the beginning of this, with the hats and that I think that, you know, it's become recognizable, and, you know, there's still more work to do, and we're just trying to come to work every day and get that done and keep moving forward.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Greg Campy of the Oakland Men's Basketball Program. Coach, thank you so much for your time this afternoon, and good luck going forward next season.
My pleasure. I appreciate you having us on, and anytime, you know, we'll be there for you.
Appreciate it, Coach. We're going to hit our second break right now on WKR's Current Sports. My name is Isaac Constance. Again, filling in for Al Martin. If you have any questions, calls, and want to talk about the upcoming basketball season, whether collegiate or pro, 517-355-9527. After the break, we're going to talk about Nick Saban suspending an arrested offensive lineman, as well as wrap up the Moneyball display last night, this afternoon on Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm Isaac Constance, filling in for regular host Al Martin. He'll be back at the helm on Friday. We just finished up a great chat with Oakland men's basketball coach Greg Campy, one of the best interviews which I've ever been a part of, and it was just terrific talking to Greg. If you missed that, don't fret. Go to Current Sports Twitter, WKAR_sports. Tweet us and let us know what you think. Also, WKAR.org/programs/currentsports, Al Martin. You can hear the full show on that later this afternoon, probably around 2:30 or so. But that doesn't wrap it up just yet for us. We've got 10 minutes left on the show, so I want to pay attention to a former member of the East Lansing community, Nick Saban, of course, an old coach at Michigan State, who went through a little bit of questioning earlier in the summer. And that's because he had a couple of players, Cam Robinson and Lawrence Jones, found with gun and drug charges that were dropped by Louisiana attorney Jerry Jones, a district attorney, because supposedly we were all in the air conditioning while these fellas were out sweating and working a little bit harder, and he didn't want to press charges despite finding guns and drugs in the car of Cam Robinson and Lawrence Jones. Now, Cam Robinson, excellent player. All-SEC left tackle entering his junior season. He's 6'5", 325, and he started every single game since his freshman year in 2014. Mel Kiper Jr., you guys all know him, the draft expert, has him going number 7, or at least the number 7 most talented player on his early 2017 big board. Cam Robinson tweeted after the incident, "People are so quick to react without knowing, all caps, any facts." That was after Nick Saban got into a little bit of a verbose scuffle with Paul Feinbaum of ESPN. Saban said to him, "Because I'm not going to convict him in public, I was going to get criticized by you and the public and the media because I'm not going to suspend him. And I don't really care about that." That's the end of the conversation. So Nick Saban's not suspending Cam Robinson. And since he's not suspend Cam Robinson. He can't necessarily suspend the lesser known Lawrence Jones and expect to face any sort of justice within the fan community. However, somebody who is getting suspended is Alphonse Taylor, a 6'5", 345-pound right guard from Alabama who started all 15 games last beautiful championship season. He got a DUI, however, and despite his preseason All-SEC second-team status, he's been suspended indefinitely. Seth, I don't know about you. I think this seems like a case of favoritism by Nick Saban. It seems to me like a DUI, and I'm not telling anybody to go drink and drive whatsoever. But you know what? I'd rather, if I had to choose, I'd rather you drink and drive than have a gun and drugs in the car, get pulled over, and yet somehow not get prosecuted by a corrupt district attorney who doesn't think that outside labor necessarily equates to equal jail sentences. That doesn't make any sense to me. And Nick Saban obviously buys into the same sort of sentencing because, not that I feel bad for this guy, Alphonse Taylor, but comparing him to Cam Robinson and Lawrence Jones, I do. To me, this just seems like a backwards case of coach justice. What about you, Seth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a shame. Just look at it. I mean, he's 6'5", 345, and he started all of their games at right tackle for him during the 2015 national championship season. He needs him. Yeah. And it'll just be a slap on the wrist. He's suspended indefinitely right now. And it's just players, like, just because they're athletes, that they can get away with that, or just because the coaches needs them.
Well, they get off free. In some sort of twisted way, though, I feel bad for Alphonse Taylor. He's not going to get the suspension he deserves. But Nick Saban, he says, quote, "I was not going to get criticized by you and the public and the media because I'm not going to suspend him, and I really don't care about that. That's the end of the conversation," talking about Cam Robinson. And yeah, he follows that up. I think he cared about the criticism when it came to Alphonse Taylor.
Yep.
In some sort of twisted way, this kid deserves to be suspended, obviously, for a DUI, but not even as much so as Cam Robinson and Lawrence Jones. And this kid's going to get the axe handed down on him because the other two didn't. He's just getting the benefit, or I guess not the benefit whatsoever. He's getting the wrong side of the repercussion. And that's kind of sad for this kid because now Nick Saban's just acting to sort of
correct his
earlier action. Doesn't make any sense to me. And the other problem I have with this is, isn't there a place for conferences to step in ever? Or the NCAA itself? They're always okay stepping in whenever a player signs a couple jerseys and then sells them, because apparently that is some horrendous, atrocious crime against mankind and society. You know, you can't really have video games because then players aren't profiting. So you know what? Instead of remaking the video games, and I mean, I don't play video games that much, but it would be fun to play too. Why not just pay the players? And the NCAA is just so strict. When Northwestern tried to create a players union, that was not for pay. Let's make that clear. That was not for pay. But the NCAA could not stand to have any other sort of organization that would even compete with them when it came to matters of players' rights. And yet, you see things like this where Nick Saban very well could have said, "I'm not going to suspend Alphonse Taylor, Cam Robinson, or Lawrence Jones." Where Baylor maybe could have said, "We're not really going to do anything." And instead of players facing sanctions from the NCAA, it's just going to be school handing down more and more. And the NCAA's rulings, we talk about Roger Goodell having the bully pulpit, leading with an iron fist and just being able to punch through whatever walls he wants, whatever restrictions. The NCAA, at least it's not one man, but it's got that exact same right. Its decisions are arbitrary. It rules without logic. And these are the cases where it needs to step in, where it needs to say, "Cam Robinson, I'm sorry. Next time you don't want to get suspended and lose part of your draft stock, won't you not bring a gun and drugs into the car? It's that simple. We're talking about earlier on in the show, having no real sympathy for Keith Applin. You feel bad for the guy because his NBA career is ruined, but at the professional level, there's no room for substandard players who can't handle their business off the court. In college football, you're supposed to be prepared for the pros. That's what college is. It's a stepping stone. And when the NCAA fails to come down hard on these guys, what are you doing? You're failing in your obligation as the governing body of college football. And you know what? For me, it's just one thing too far. We've seen it again and again with the NCAA, and they don't do anything to correct it whatsoever. Coaches and players with records of repeated habitual violation deserve to not get a third and fourth chance. And that's the same thing with this Alabama football team. Eventually, you've got to say, too many crimes is too many. With Florida State, you have to say, okay, Quentin Cook or Davin Cook. I'm forgetting the quarterback's name from last year for Florida State. I can't remember it. But Jameis Winston, you follow it up with the quarterback who was then suspended for this upcoming year. Florida State, a team with numerous violations on that front. They get off easy. Nick Saban and Alabama get off easy. It's all so political. And then you see the teams that they do crack down on. SMU is still stuttering and stumbling from those 80s violations. They were a football powerhouse. With Dickerson and with James at the running back, that's one of the best dual backfields of all time. And you know what? They got the brunt of the brute force and power of the NCAA. Meanwhile, Alabama, who's not paying players is only bad because the NCAA tells you it is. There's nothing wrong with that. Selling jerseys for money or for tattoos is only bad because the NCAA tells you it is. Driving around with a gun and drugs in the car, that's just flat out bad. There's no misconstruing that, and it's on these issues that the NCAA refuses to get involved. Whatever. I'm red for the day. I'm done. I've had my rant. You know what? I'm all done with my frustration. I've let it all out. So that's actually it for today on Current Sports. Ending you with a nice and happy note. Thank you so much to Greg Campy, head coach of the Oakland men's basketball program, for joining us and talking about Khalil Felder, his program, and his efforts to stop cancer. Great interview there. Tomorrow on the show, we've got one that I'm also very excited for, Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune, on to talk about Denzel Valentine and his progress with the Chicago Bulls. All that and more. I'm Isaac Constant, filling in for Al Martin. This is Current Sports. Thank you for joining me.